Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
It's good. This is the second week of our fast, or starting the second week of our fast. So I'll talk about fasting a little bit. Our theme for fasting this year is fullness. And so all kind of last year, we're kind of deciding what we're going to be our theme for fast and into the next year. And it's really this idea of fullness. Now, we always try to pick something that's really practical and then also like super spiritual. So fullness, I'm going to talk to you about the idea of fullness today. Being full has its own connotations. There's good and bad connotations about being full. So have you ever heard like people that are full of themselves? Right? Full of it, whatever it is. Anybody? Know somebody who's full of it? I know a couple people. Some are here today. No, I'm just playing. Full of it. How about Thanksgiving? You know, Thanksgiving Day. Anybody ever get filled to the fullness on Thanksgiving? And usually you say, I ate too much, right? Too much. I ate too much. Have you ever been full of rage? Anybody? Full of rage? Full of anger? Full of bitterness? Right? Full of contempt? How about filled with sorrow? Fullness. There's all sorts of bad things. There's also good things, right? Have been filled with joy, right? I got kids, and so sometimes they get a little excited, and they are filled with joy. And usually that means that they just run around like, ah, rah! Sometimes that can be a sugar-filled joy. Sometimes that can just be an excitement, whatever it is. It usually ends up with one of them kicking each other in the face, and everybody crying, right? So if you're filled with joy, so you can't control yourself, you're like, ah! It goes from joy to crying in 2 seconds. And then everybody's got to go to bed. It's from joy to sorrow to anger to depression. Have you known somebody that was filled with wisdom? Full of wisdom. How about having enough? Right, we're going through Dave Ramsey, and so the whole goal of Dave Ramsey is to be financially independent. Wouldn't it be great to have enough that you didn't have to depend on anybody else? You didn't have to depend on creditors. You didn't depend on maybe even your job. You could work at a job that you love to do and not even get paid to do it. Wouldn't that be amazing to do? We talk about that, having enough. We just got through the holidays, and a lot of people during the holiday season really start to size up and go, I don't have enough. But to have enough is a good thing. How about I'm talking about your budget, but how about freedom? Having the freedom that you want. Like for me, I would want to be able to just like go to Malibu for like Monday on my day off and then come back to work on Tuesday. Wouldn't that be great? I could just take off on Sunday, come back on Monday evening and be ready for Tuesday. Wouldn't that be great? Anybody else? Day off, just go to Malibu. Like 52 weeks a year. Just go there. That's where I go. That kind of freedom would be amazing. Anybody have that kind of freedom? Kevin, I'm looking at you, buddy. Oh, not yet? Okay. Someday. Freedom is a great thing. So we want to be full. We just want to be full of the right things. And so fasting is really a perspective changer because oftentimes throughout the year, we get full on so many things and then we recalibrate with this fasting. And what happens is we realize that we're full of a lot of things that are not super beneficial for us. Has anybody figured out this first week that they were full of some things that needed to be dropped off? Maybe you had a contentment with some things that you shouldn't be contented on, and over here you had a deficit where you needed to be filled up with. You let go. Well, usually when I feel this way, I run to this, and now you're saying no, and all of a sudden you have to fill up on something else. And the Bible talks about this as being the types of things that are good for us and that we should be filling up on. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today from the book of Ephesians and a few other places. But Paul specifically says that we need to be full or filled to the fullness. The fullness. Are you ready today? Let's check out Ephesians 3. And I'm going to start in 17, but 19 is only on the screen. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and deep and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. It is majestic, it is powerful, it is fierce, it is relentless, it is incredible in ways we can't even understand. As we get into the word today, I pray that your grace and the purity of your love would overwhelm us in such a way that we could begin this great journey to be being filled with the fullness of God. Lord, help and give us strength as we put away things in through these weeks and the beginning of our year that are in the way of what you have for us so we can become all that you dreamed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So fullness. So he starts off talking about love. He's like, I pray you can understand how great it is. It's high, it's wide, it's deep. It's so incredible. You can't even really fathom it. He says, I pray that you would actually have knowledge of this love. Have you ever known somebody that was just like, well, who can understand God? Right? Well, I mean, nobody knows what God's going to do, right? We say that kind of stuff all the time. It seems so spiritual to place this high emphasis on God, and it is. But actually, Paul gets down to the nitty-gritty. He's like, I pray that you could understand it. I pray that you could get a grasp on it little by little, and that this love would overwhelm you in such a way that you would be filled to the fullness of God. Filled to the fullness of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it actually says this. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Let's stop right there. If you want to get to know God in a greater way, you can start with Jesus. Why? He wasn't just some man that roamed the earth. He wasn't just, you know, another version of God or a secondary thing. He actually says that all of God dwells in Jesus. Jesus, in a sense, is perfect theology. When I look at Jesus and I find out how I should act, what I should represent, the type of person that I should be, I can look to Jesus and I find out that if God were to show up and show me who he was, he would look like Jesus. Jesus. All the deity, all that God is, all that he would want to show you is alive and well in Jesus. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. And so it says Jesus, he represents God. And actually, through Christ, you are being brought to this fullness. It's kind of twofold, because the first thing is that he's like, you have been brought to fullness. We go, wow, that's crazy. So I'm fasting for nothing, Brandon. I'm already full. Well, you ask yourself that question in the mirror. Am I full of what God wants to be full of? And probably the answer is no. And so you can run one of two ways. I can either stop right now, or I can go harder and go further. What I believe is the multidimensional thing I'm going to talk about in a second, is that God brings us to the fullness of God. He actually takes your old man and you're a new creation. And he actually gives you the ability through Christ to be brought to a greater fullness in him. Don't believe me? Let's check it out. Ephesians chapter 1. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So what happens is you're a three-dimensional being. You have spirit, soul, body, right? Has anybody here gotten saved and then like the next day your life was completely transformed? Everything was new. You didn't smoke, you didn't drink, you didn't have any more hang-ups. You were like absolutely perfect. You're like, God, take me. I am ready for you. I am absolutely perfect. No, most of us don't have that testimony. We have some form of that. Maybe some addictions dropped off, or some attitudes, emotions dropped off. Maybe some bitterness, resentment dropped off. But what really happened is that we were made new on the inner man. The spirit of man was dead and it became alive. The same thing that happened with Adam and Eve, right? God said, when you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. Satan was like, you won't surely die. Why? Satan understood that man was multidimensional. That they were going to die in their spirit, but still live on. And so most of us have come to the place where we become new, made new, come alive by receiving Jesus. And we were brought to the fullness in our inner man. We're new on the inside. It's like a new creation. You go back, you got the same hangups. You know, like you got the same boyfriend you had before. You got the same the same addictions. You got the same drama. But now you have a different compass on the inside. And that compass begins to point you in different directions. And something inside of you says, hey, chill out with that. That's not you. You're not that way anymore. And so in this inside, we have been brought to the fullness. And now what God wants to do is fill us up in our soul, in our body. Won't you be glad when your body is full of the Holy Spirit? But there's a process that happens. And so in us, in this journey with Jesus, like God could just take us to heaven right now. We're new in our spirit, but he has a work for us to do both in ourselves, but the work in us is for other people. That if you have an ambition to be more like Christ, that ambition to be more like Christ isn't just so you can get to heaven. That ambition is for the service of others. It's to change the world. It's to do great things while you're here and you have time, because the Bible says that the harvest is ripe and ready, but there's not many workers who will go out and do the work. And so what we want to have happen in our lives is that God could use me, transform me, make me into what he wants me to be for his purpose and for his service, that I could be brought to the fullness. Understand? So in Ephesians later on, he starts off with that. He says, look, the Holy Spirit is deposited in you. At your core, the deposit is there. And this is a sign, it's a signal, one version says it's the title deed to your life. One version says it's the stamp, it's the seal of a king that cannot be opened, it cannot be reversed. And so what happens is that he says, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. And then he goes over in the next chapter, and check this out. Ephesians chapter 5:18-17. He says, don't get drunk on wine, you know who you are, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is the same book, same writer, same letter. He says, look, you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. It's in you. It's igniting you. It's transforming your life. It's a wonderful thing. It's the deposit that is so real and genuine that God wanted you to have it. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes, look, instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's crazy. Because if you're reading this at surface level and you don't know much about the Bible, you're like, well, I thought he just said I had the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's alive in me. It's doing a work. I'm new. I mean, what's the deal? I want you to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. When you go back to this word filled here, we read it in past tense because we're English, right? We have this English twist on a Greek idea. But in the Greek there, it's a continual, perpetual, present tense thing. It's almost like it says, be constantly filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. Continue to be being filled with the Spirit. And so what Paul is trying to get at is that it is a constant thing for you to go, God, I've got the Spirit inside of me. It's transforming my life. I feel different. I feel new. Now fill me completely. Do a work in me that only you can do. And so many people get content in the deposit stage and go, I'm saved. And then they just do whatever they want, live however they want. They become full on themselves. They become full of any emotion that comes their way. They become full of things that happened to them in the past. They become a victim. They become all of these sort of things, and they think they're saved on the inside, but they live a defeated life everywhere else in their soul and their body. And so we have a lot of sin-sick souls running around claiming to be Christians. They have no power. They have no authority. They have no direction, but they just know that they're going to heaven. But there's a difference in people who take the word of God. Here, Paul says, continually be filled with the Spirit. And so last week, I might have got hung up in some old sin, but God, I need to be filled again in that area. Last night I might have had an attitude towards somebody. I might have like had a dividing line and been upset. I might have let my anger get to me. I might have lost my cool. But today, God, I need you to fill me up with that power that's on the inside of me, flowing to every part of my life until I am filled to the fullness. And so what Ephesians says in 3, he says, I pray that you can understand how great God's love for you is. Let's start with that. How great his love for you is. Most of the time when we act out, it's because of a deficit. Think about that for a minute. When you get upset at the person at the help counter at Walmart, why do you get upset at them? Because you walk away with a loss. I tried to bring this back and they did not want to bring it back. Well, you didn't have your receipt. Well, that shouldn't matter. And now you've got to eat it financially. Because of whatever reason, that person could not restore to you that which was lost. This is very simple things. Now, most people that are Christians have got this under control, right? You figured out how to be nice to the person who screws you over at the Walmart customer service counter, right? Oh, bless God, I've got such a wonderful spirit. Okay, but what happens with your ex-husband, ex-wife, your boss, your kids, or the person you're married to right now? I signed a contract one day when we were married, and I decided that I was going to do all these things, and you were going to do all these things. Now, I've done all these things, but you have not done all of those things, and so I feel that I have a deficit. Deficit. Usually, it's some kind of issue where we begin to butt heads because I feel that I'm not being treated fairly. And that affects everything. In nutrition, we know that deficit affects everything. Sleep deprivation, it affects everything. Rest, physical exercise, all of the things that we have deficiency in affect us in a negative way. And so what Paul is saying here, he says, I pray that you would know how deep, how wide, how far, how high. We just deep and wide, right? The Father's love is for you. And what happens in this moment is that if we can get just a glimpse of understanding how great his love is for us, the deficiency that I have at the Walmart counter doesn't mean much. And the deficiency I have in my marriage doesn't mean much. And the deficiency I have in my relationships at work don't mean much. Because now I'm filled with a different type of power. I'm filled with a different kind of energy that is not depleted. It's a source that never gives up. It's a source that continues on and on and on. And Paul says, and a lot of these letters he's writing from the worst of circumstances. Some he's writing from prison. Some he's writing from house arrest. Some he's writing while he's, you know, shipwrecked. I mean, he has all of these things going on. And he's like, look, I just want you to know that with God's love, you can do pretty much anything. With God's love, you can do pretty much anything. So he says, you've got a deposit in you, and it needs to be filling your whole entire life. And when it does, you'll be filled to such fullness that you'll be actually effective for the kingdom of God instead of effective trying to fill your own deficiencies. Most of our lives, we get up in the morning and try to fill our own deficiencies. How do I make money for my bills? How do I become a better parent? How do I become a better husband, a better wife? How do I become a better employee? How do I afford the vacation? How do I look good in front of my neighbors? What happens is you set a place in your life where you go, God, I feel deficiency here. And God, can you fill it with your perfect love? When I begin to rely on God as my source, what happens is he's like, I pray that you can understand how great God's love is. Because you think it's a salvation issue. You think it's just a forgiveness issue. You think it's just this one thing. But actually, God is giving you the power through his love. So Romans 5:5 says that God has poured out his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit in you, a deposit, is actually God's love in action in your life. to be fulfilling every purpose, every strategy, every task that you need to have happen, everything you're going for, every destiny, everything he's called you to do is filled in this one thing, the love of God filled to the fullness in you. Filled to the fullness in you. He says, if you can begin to grasp it little by little, I pray that you'll be filled to the fullness. So what happens during a fast? Well, you know what? The first week to the first half of a fast is filled mostly with you figuring out how to live without food. Right? So most of the week and a half, you're not even really thinking about God. You're trying to force yourself to read, and you're trying to force yourself to pray. But really, you're just thinking about, like, I really want some, you know, nachos. Man, a steak sounds like... Anybody else watch the Food Network during the fast? Okay, thank you. It's amazing, isn't it? Number one, it proves how really strong you are. It's like, I don't even want that right now. But when this is over, I'm getting that. You spend most of the beginning part of a fast trying to figure out how to get away from food, which is really symbolic of your life. A lot of being filled with the Spirit that you've been asking for God to fill you in different ways. God, give me this. God, fill me here. God, show me here. God, give me wisdom here. God, fill me with love here. Is actually, there's no space for God to fill because you filled it with everything else. Be quite honest, if you want a love relationship that's perfect and from God, and you force another relationship in there, God can't give you the person of your dreams because you've got somebody in there already. Now, if you're married, this is not for you. You got somebody. You're sticking. Right? So as long as you got somebody in that seat, God can't fill it. If you're looking for love in all the wrong places, God can't fulfill love in your life because you've got that seat filled. Financially, if you're looking to fill your life by working, you know, 90 hours a week and I got all this figured out and you're not ever like doing what God says, which is to rest, which God says is to tithe. You know, like in the Old Testament, they would farm for 7 years and take a whole year off. Take a whole year off. Why? Because God understood the rest was that important. Okay? And if you're trying to fulfill your dreams and everything financially and you're just trying to, you know, square peg, round hole and doing everything and you don't ever do it God's way, then he can't fulfill and bless you the way that he can. He can't fill that part of your deficiency. And so just like in a fast where we're putting away food and trying to focus on what we can't do, our spiritual life is the same way. God is beginning to show you right now things in your life that are getting in the way from him fulfilling those places because the seat is taken. And so little by little, he goes, I need you to fix that. I need you to get rid of that. I need you to confess that. I need you to move on from that. I need to get you to the place where I can fill you up with my perfect kind of love for that particular task. And what happens is in those moments, where we begin to confess and remove and push things out and kind of make space for God, what happens is he comes in like a flood. He comes in like a flood. He becomes the thing that fills your life. And so Paul says, continue to be filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. Because what happens is it's so easy for us as humanity to pick up the very things we had before and go, oh yeah, I remember you. Now I can handle this. Now I can do this. Now I got this. God says, no, you don't need that. Continue to be filled with me. Continue to be filled with what I've given you. The love of God poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. So there's no deficiency, no lack. You're filled for every good work, and you're filled to the fullness. Jesus in John 7, he has this, I don't know if it's a speech or just like a rant or whatever it is, But at the end of a great festival, they have a week-long festival where they party and they do their thing and they honor God. It's a religious ceremony. It's a holiday. It's everything wrapped into one. It's maybe like our Christmas or maybe like our 4th of July, but 7 days long. We just party. We just get away and do our thing. Maybe we honor a certain idea. And so they had this festival where they would actually light candles and have this big water source, and everybody would talk about how great God was, and everybody would get slosh and drunk and do their thing and just eat the heck out of everything. At the very end of a festival, everybody's walking home. I used to work security for, you know, like events and shows, and anybody heard of the band Lone Star, you know? Baby, I'm amazed by you. So you get a bunch of rednecks out on a lawn watching Lone Star and drinking, you know, Coors Light all night long. People get belligerent. And our job was to stand there and basically watch and make sure nobody was crazy, and which everybody was. And then at the end of the night, when the show was over and the band had left, everybody would, like, just hang out. And you're like, your job as a security person was to make them clear out. Now, at 19 years old, weighing about 190, you know, clearing out a bunch of drunk rednecks was not really my forte. Come on, let's go. Time to go. Hey, come on. Hey, Bubba, gotta go. Hey, Jed, gotta go. I didn't really call him that, but I should have. Now that I think about it, that would have been great if I just called out every redneck. And they would get belligerent, and they would, you know, we can't tell us to leave. It was like George Bush is president. Keep going. Keep going. No, you can't tell us it's a free country. Yep, just get out of here. And I imagine it's a little bit like that at this festival. People moving slow, having their good time. They got wine, they got everything. And what happens is nobody wants to leave something that was so great because they know what they have to go back to. They know there's a deficit there that they have to return to the same old life. And here they have, they've partied for 7 days, they've eaten, they've drank, they've had a good time, they've worshiped, they've had a religious ceremony, and here's Jesus among Jed and whoever else I said, Bubba, who don't want to go home. They're upset, they're angry, they're maybe whatever, they're sloshed out of their mind. And he gets up and he just calls out and he says, if anybody thirsts. I read that for years, thinking about how Jesus would just be preaching and go, if anybody thirsts. But actually, in context, is a crowd of people, and he yells, if anybody thirsts, let them come to me. And out of your belly will flow streams of living water. Which is ridiculous, because everybody there was probably drunk. Everybody there had been full to an excessiveness beyond their earthly imagination. They had enough church, they had enough wine, they had enough people, they had enough food, they had everything. And here's Jesus saying, if anybody thirsts, because there's people who are going back to a deficit that will only both be fulfilled by one thing, and that's Jesus Christ, fully alive, filling every part of their lives. And so here we are 7 days in, and some people are saying, is this fasting work? Because all I'm thinking about is nachos. Is this fasting work? Because all I really want is some ribs. All I really want to do is go in the morning and get my coffee and go on my bagel, my donut, whatever. I mean, got people offering me lunch. They're offering me everything, and I just want to just go on. I mean, I've already got a headache. I'm sick of this. I'm just cantankerous. What the heck is this even for? And so in a spiritual journey, you're at a moment where you can either go back and you can exist for these 21 days and you can be perfectly content with going on a diet and you did it with everybody else, hip, hip, hooray. Or you can be the kind of person who in a moment when everybody else is walking back in disappointment turns to Jesus and says, I'll take that. I need that. I need that. I'm still thirsty. I'm not full yet. I don't have enough. I need everything you got, God. Come to me. The Bible says this, he spoke about the Holy Spirit. The the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that Paul talks about, that fills your life in every way, that fills you to the fullness, that goes above and beyond, that takes you in a deeper way, that hang-ups get taken away, that past hang-ups, that bitterness, that ideas, that memories get taken away, that the old attitudes get washed away, and all of a sudden you become new, that your destiny becomes clearer, that you become more like Christ in every way, that actually you're able to do things you never thought you could do because the love of God is alive and well in you like never before. When I'm filled to the fullness. Filled to the fullness. And so we have 2 weeks of moving things out so God can move in. Clearing things out, making space for God and things that we thought he couldn't move in. In spaces we thought would never be filled. When we've done our best to build our own sandcastles, but what we need is for his waves to come in and wash them out and make them new again. One of the most amazing things in the world, I think, is a dam. The first one I ever went was to Bagnell Dam down by Osage Beach, and the second one I ever went to was the Hoover Dam. But when you understand what's really happening there is that they're holding back one thing to create a different atmosphere on the other side. Essentially, what is happening in your life is that there is a river of living water that you are damming up. The amazing thing about water is it will fill everything perfectly that there is space to fill. But if you hold it back, it stays where it would stay. The Spirit of God is like that. Tell me, Iran. That in our lives we have dammed up areas. Holding back the Spirit of God at the very core of our life from getting to this place, that place, this place. What do you mean? These relationships with these people, I mean, they're okay. Not hurting me, but is it what God wants for your life? You know, if I don't remember what they did to me, then who will remember? Damming up the Spirit of God. God, I want more power for miracles, signs, wonders. But in your life, you don't take time for the Spirit of God to fill those areas of your life. Just hope and pray that something changes instead of making a point to open up the gates and let the water through. The most amazing thing about the dam, each tour that I took, is when they open up those gates and the water just comes rushing through with such force, with such hurry. Such amazing quickness for your life that God wants to fill places that you've held back for so long and you think it'll be too long of a process. It'll be too tough. It'll be too hard. But actually all that happens is you say, God, I give it to you. God, I make room for you. And he fills it to the fullness. Like a sinking ship, they begin to open up the doors and the water comes in. Every area of your life that God wants to take his love and fill you to the fullness of Christ. That in Christ, all the deity, godly form dwells in him. And in Christ, you've been brought to a new fullness. I know that the greatest days of your life are not behind you, they're before you. How do I know that? Because God is greater. He is exceeding all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. And he wants to do it in your life. Jeremiah says that he has a plan to prosper you, to give you a future. Your future is tomorrow. Your future is the next minute, the next second. where you say, God, you can have it. Fill me to the fullness. So the first part of the fast is you figuring out what you can do without. I want to say from this day forward, the rest of the fast is about letting God come in and do greater things in greater ways in your life than you ever thought imaginable. God, take down my mental blocks, places where I have an idea of how it should go, but your idea is greater. Come into my life where I've let depression and anxiety set in and fill it with such great joy. Take the places where I'm mourning and give me beauty for these ashes. Take the places where I've tried and messed up that I have things going and come in and give me a divine strategy for what you want to do in my life. For my future, for my business, for my family, everything you've ever wanted to do. God, the things that I told you that I would never do. Did you know that I told God that I would never be a pastor? Yeah, I'm not called to be a pastor. Until I had one moment where I said, I want you to do this. I said, I can't. He said, yes, you can. And all I said was yes. Then maybe you think that your retirement is filled up with working as a greeter at Walmart. And God wants your retirement to be giving your life in service to Him in ministry. That you're in your 40s and you're trying to figure out how to make it through until they can pay you a pension. But God is saying, I want you to do ministry now. Right now, you're trying to decide where your future to go. You're just a young kid, maybe just out of high school, just out of college. And what will I do? And what am I supposed to do? And you have dreams that you thought all your life and all of a sudden they're not making sense. And you say, I don't know if that's the right call or not. And God says, would you follow me? I can fill you. I know that what God has for you far surpasses anything you have for yourself. Every deficiency can be made up in Him. He fills all things. How do I know that? Because He doesn't make something that He will not fill. Genesis tells us that He formed Adam. Then He filled him with His Spirit. And He made you. He made you so He could fill you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me today? I don't know what your greatest need is. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know where you are in your life, but I do know this, that God has an answer for everything, whether it's small, big, whether it's positive, negative, whatever it is, God can take you higher and further than you ever dreamed. So today I want you to just make a commitment to say, God, fill me with the fullness of God. And it starts with a revelation of His great love for you. Put your hand on your heart today. Just say, God, I receive your love today. Go ahead. Say it out loud. I receive your love today. Father, change hearts right now. Anything that's not of you, give us wisdom and strategy to get rid of it. Give us the boldness to stand up and say no. And right now, fill us with the power and the love of God, wisdom, supernatural understanding to follow you to the next step. Fill us with the fullness. Anything that's not of you, bring it to our mind. Teach us, God. We're your vessels. Fill us to the fullness. Let the next 2 weeks of our fast be so incredible, so incredible, so incredible that we begin to mark 2018 as the year we started a journey that was so incredible, so beautiful, unlike anything else we've ever experienced. Because your future for us is great. In Jesus' name, amen.